We're going to look together at the Song of Solomon, this time chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. Now, the leader of the women's meeting was indignant. It was at a place on the outskirts of Cheltenham, and I'd gone there to speak. The thing that roused the ire of this formidable woman, incidentally, she was the minister's wife, the thing that roused her anger was that I had chosen a Bible reading from the Song of Solomon. "I've never read that book in my life," she said. "You'd better read it yourself." So I did, and then preached from the Song of Solomon, and that made her even more angry. And I've never been invited back. But this evening I'm going to preach from the Song of Solomon. I hope that none of you get as annoyed as that poor woman did. But it's a great book, the Song of Solomon. This is a neglected book of the Bible. I guess that minister's wife is not the only professing Christian who's never read the book in her life. Let me take a moment to tell you the plot of the story, the plot of this book. It's all about the king and his bride, the Shulamite woman. It's a kind of spiritual parable or allegory. The king represents the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride represents the Christian believer. In chapter 1, verse 1, this book is called the Song of Songs. If you like, the song of all songs, the greatest song in the world, and the greatest song in the world can only be about one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say this book is just a book about human love. Well, it has a lot to teach us about that. But the song of all songs, the greatest song in the world, must be about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the bride who speaks here in chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. We'll put the first part of verse 6 on hold for a moment and concentrate on the latter part. In verse 7, he says, "Love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised." Is she speaking about her love for the bridegroom, the king, or about the king's love for her? A lot of discussion about that. But I think both are true. She doesn't say my love. She doesn't say your love. She just says love is as strong as death. So she's speaking about the love that her king, the bridegroom, had for her and the love that she had for him. First of all, then, let's look at these words as describing her love for the king. The bride's love for the king. Remembering that the bride represents the Christian believer, we have here a description of the kind of love that we should have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we want to test our love for him? Well, this can be a kind of thermometer to test our love for him. For a start, she describes her love for him as strong as death. Love is as strong as death. She means, of course, that she loves her bridegroom so much that she would be willing and ready to die for him. She means that even the threat of death would not make her turn against her bridegroom. She says, in effect, men may threaten me. Men may say, renounce your love for him or else you will suffer and die. But I would rather die than deny him. I would rather die than turn against him. Love is as strong as death. Christian friends, is that how we love the Lord Jesus Christ? With a love as strong as death. Even if we were threatened with death for believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, even if they say to us, deny him or perish, deny him or die, would we go on loving him? That's the kind of love which many of our predecessors in the faith had for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in Acts 5 that the apostles rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Or think of those noble men and women during the Reformation period of the 16th century. In England alone, during the reign of Queen Mary, the last 4 years of her reign, 288 people were burned at the stake rather than deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop Hooper over there in Gloucester, Latimer and Ridley there in Oxford, Thomas Bilney away there in my native city of Norwich. Rather than deny the Lord Jesus, they were burned at the stake. Says the bridegroom, my love is as strong as death. Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ like that? I find myself asking that question in January 1999. We'd just come from a wonderful, glorious baptismal service in India. And as we came away from that baptismal service, we ran into a Hindu roadblock. Just 5 days after Graham Staines, a missionary, and his two sons had been burned to death in India in their sleeper van. We ran into this Hindu roadblock, and there they had the holy fire. And I thought to myself, well, this may be it. This may be it. In God's goodness, that wasn't my time. In God's goodness, the noble pastors I was with at great length were able to negotiate their way out of that most difficult situation. But it made me think. I've thought about that many, many times since. Would I be willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ? Love, my love for him, says the bride, is as strong as death. Then the bride says that her love for the king is as jealous and cruel as the grave. Love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. It's a strange statement. It means that she is jealous of anything or anyone which will come between her and her beloved bridegroom. She means she will not tolerate anything coming before him. Or anyone coming before him. With a jealousy as cruel as the grave, she would tear away anything or anyone that attempted to come between her and her beloved bridegroom. The grave is cruel, isn't it? Snatches people away. With a jealousy as cruel as that, she says, I would snatch away anything that tried to come between me and my beloved bridegroom. Do we have that kind of love for the Lord Jesus Christ? A jealous love which will tear away anything that vies for his place in our lives. There are many things which try to come between us and Christ. Possessions, pleasures, hobbies, sport, friends, all try to come between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. Would we tear away anything or anyone that attempted to do that. I have a vivid memory of something which happened to me when I was, or happened in my sight, when I was just 11 years old. I just passed what they called the 11 plus exam in those days, and I was with my parents on the way to see the new school to which I would be going. And I was standing by a bus stop with my parents in the center of Norwich, and there in front of us in the queue was a man arm in arm with a woman. Suddenly, out from nowhere, another woman came on the scene, wielding an umbrella, and she began to bash this woman holding the man's arm with this umbrella. What it was, the man's wife had come on the scene, and she'd seen her husband arm in arm with another woman. And she beat that woman over the head with the umbrella and snatched her away from her husband. I was only 11, but my sympathies were with the woman who was wielding the umbrella. She just shouted out, "What do you mean, coming between me and my husband?" And with a jealousy as cruel as the grave, she snatched this other woman away. Says the bride, "In that way, I would snatch away anything that tried to come between me and my beloved King." Is that how you love the Lord Jesus? With a jealousy as cruel as the grave. "The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." Thirdly, her love for her bridegroom was as hot as fire. She says, "Its flames are as flames of fire, a most vehement flame." There was a zeal and an ardor about her love for the King. It burned like fire. Everyone could see that she loved her bridegroom. If you go back to chapter 5 that we read together earlier, the daughters of Jerusalem, the onlookers in the story, say to the bride, "What is your beloved more than another beloved that you charge us so? What's so special about him?" They had noticed, you see, that she so loved him, there was something very special about him, and they were attracted by that. Well, can people see that we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Is our love for him like a burning fire? I can see that the man of the world loves his rugby, loves his football. He looks forward to the big match. He gets there on time. Gets the best seat possible. I can see that he loves his match. And he cheers and he gets excited. And if it goes into extra time, he's delighted. And if there's a replay next week, he's back there again. He loves his football. Now contrast the average Christian. Can people see that we love our Lord Jesus Christ? Is our love for him like a burning fire, full of zeal and ardor? Then in addition, she says her love for the King was unquenchable as a furnace. She says it cannot be put out by floods. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. This is an unquenchable love. Many floods may come, many rivers may overflow, many trials may come, but it won't quench her love for her bridegroom. And as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he sometimes takes us through deep waters. He sometimes takes us through floods. He sometimes takes us through great trials. And things happen to us which are very, very difficult. This bride says, all those trials, all those deep waters will not quench my love for him. Even though he takes me through difficult times, I'll still be loyal to him, come what may. Is that how we love the Lord Jesus? Christians in North Korea just now are going through very, very deep waters. Christians in Syria just now. Christians in Iraq just now. Christians in Myanmar just now. Going through very, very deep waters. But that is not quenching their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many waters cannot quench love. Is that it is? How it is with you, my friend, and with me? Then, her love for him was greater than her love for money and possessions. He puts it like this in verse 7. If a man would give all the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. What she means is this. She says, in effect, if some man offered me all the wealth of his house to turn my back on my beloved and to go with him. If a man offered me all his wealth to be unfaithful to my beloved bridegroom, I would treat that offer with contempt. I would despise it. Such was her love for her bridegroom. Do we love our Lord like that? More than all the riches and treasures of the world, there's nothing wrong with these things, but if it comes to the crunch, if it comes to a choice between the Lord and our obedience to him and money and possessions and things like that, would we be willing to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost? The devil is always trying to bribe us to turn against the Lord Jesus. He's always trying to get us to be unfaithful to him. But do we treat such an offer with contempt? Do we despise the whole idea? The whole idea of putting money, the whole idea of putting possessions, the whole idea of putting pleasure, the whole idea of putting my ease and comfort before the Lord Jesus Christ, out with the idea. Treat it with contempt. That is what this bride is saying. I'd rather have Jesus. We used to sing at the old Billy Graham Crusades years ago. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Would you, my friend? Would I rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today? That's how we should love the Lord Jesus Christ. With a love as strong as death. With an unquenchable love. With a love which will snatch away any rival to him. Now, why should we love the Lord Jesus Christ like that? We should love the Lord Jesus Christ like that because he has loved us like that. That is why the bride loved her bridegroom, because he had loved her with such an amazing love. And that is why we should love the Lord Jesus Christ with such a love, because he has loved us with such an amazing love. We love him, says the Bible. Why? Because he first loved us. Let me tell you about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Let me tell you about the love of the King for his bride. And this time we'll do it in reverse order. We should love the Lord Jesus Christ, the King, because he loves us more than all the treasures of the universe. Did you realize that? If you are a believer, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you more than all the treasures of the universe. How do I know that? Because he is the eternal Son of God. And he lived in heaven. And all the treasures of the universe were his. And he laid aside all that glory. He laid aside all the riches of heaven. And came to this world. Why? Because he loved you. Because he loved me. And he was born in a stable. And he was laid in a manger. And he lived a very poor life in the carpenter shop. He gave aside, laid aside all the splendors of the universe in order to come and save you and to save me. He loves us more than all the treasures of the universe. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. And then can you remember that time when the devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ? We're told in the Gospels, the devil took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them, and said to the Lord Jesus Christ, all these things I will give you if you bow down and worship me. Says the devil to the Lord Jesus, if you will abandon your mission to save men and women, if you will abandon your mission to serve God, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all the treasures of the world. And Jesus refused that offer completely, treated it with contempt. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us more than all the treasures of the universe. Secondly, we should love the Lord Jesus Christ because he loves us with a love that is unquenchable. We're working our way back through verses 7 and 6. He loves us with a love that is unquenchable. Many waters cannot quench love. And if that's true of the bride's love for the king, it is 10,000 times more true of the king's love for us. Nothing can quench his love for us. It is eternal. It is unchangeable. It is unquenchable. Whatever my circumstances are, he still loves me. I say it very, very carefully, lest I give the impression that I'm going soft on sin. I'm not doing that. But even when, like a fool, I fall into sin, he still loves me. He's unquenchable. Nothing can put it out. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed. But yet, in love, he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. Often I feel my sinful heart prone from my Saviour to depart, but though I have him oft forgot, his loving kindness changes not. Unquenchable. That's why we should love the Lord Jesus Christ more, because his love for us is unquenchable. We should love the Lord Jesus Christ as the bride here loved the king, because he loves us with a love that is hot and burning like a fire. His love for us has a most vehement flame, says this passage. A most vehement flame. There's nothing apathetic, is there, about the Lord's love for us? There's nothing half-hearted about the Lord's love for us. There's nothing lukewarm about the Lord's love for us. There's nothing dull or dreary about the Lord's love for us. His love for us is ardent like a furnace, a vehement flame. It knows no bounds. It's like those flames which you see in California or Australia. It's a kind of raging fire. And our Lord's love for us is like a raging fire. He loves us in the most amazing way. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling in as a muddy ocean in its fullness over me. Or as Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 3, oh, the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ. It passes knowledge. Like a burning fire. I go further. He loves us with a jealous love. He so loves us that he grieves if anything comes between us and him. If we allow money or possessions or the house or the garden or a friend or sport or hobbies or pastimes, if we allow anything like that to come between us and the Lord Jesus Christ, he is deeply grieved. He loves us with a jealous love. You remember that statement in Jeremiah chapter 3 where the Lord addresses Jerusalem. He says, "Return, return, O backsliding children, for I'm married to you. I'm your bridegroom, and I love you, and I'm jealous for you, and I hate to see you running after other lovers." He loves us with a jealous love. And most of all, we should love the Lord Jesus Christ and love him more because he loves us with a love as strong as death. How do I know that? How do I know that the Lord, the King, loves me with a love as strong as death? Because it's the central truth of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us so much that he came into this world and he suffered and bled and died. He went to the cross of Calvary. And there on the cross of Calvary he shed his blood. He laid down his life for you, for me, that we might become God's children. His love for us is as strong as death. He could have opted out, but he went to the cross. You remember Peter tried to get him to change his mind. Peter said to him, when Jesus said the Son of Man must suffer many things and be put to death, Peter said to him, "That must never happen to you, Lord. That must never happen to you. You mustn't die." Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You're trying to prevent me from dying to save my people. And I will not have that at any cost. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die on the cross in order to save my people." He loves us with a love as strong as death. That's why we should love the Lord Jesus Christ more than we do. That's why we should love him with a love as strong as death. That's why we should love him with a jealous love. That's why we should love him with a love like burning fire. That's why we should love him more than we love possessions and pleasures. Let's plead with the Lord to increase our love for him. And at the same time, we must put aside anything which would quench our love for him. Let's dwell upon his love for us. "Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is weak and faint. But I love thee and adore. Oh, for grace to love thee more." And what will be the result of that? If we really love the Lord Jesus Christ, what will be the result of that? What will happen when we have this strong, vehement, burning love for him? I'll tell you, we'll just long and yearn to be near to him, nearer than ever before. Everything else will pale into insignificance. The great longing of our lives will be to be as near to him as it's possible to be. Now, the bride says here, in verse 6, beginning of verse 6, "Set me as a seal on your heart, as a seal upon your arm." She's referring to an ancient Eastern custom. In those days, a bridegroom, a husband, would wear on his arm a kind of bracelet. And on the bracelet, there would be an image, there would be a picture, there would be an engraving of his dearly loved bride. And he'd wear that as a kind of bracelet on his arm. Or else he would hang a pendant around his neck, and on it would be an inscription, a picture of his dearly loved bride. And the bride here is saying to her king, I want to be as close to you as a bracelet on your arm. I want to be as close to you as a pendant around your neck. And Christian friends, we should long to be near to the Lord Jesus Christ like that. To be near to him every day. Our desire to get money, popularity, pleasure should pale into insignificance compared with this desire to be as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as it's possible to be. Now, this is true Christianity. Being loved by Christ and loving him in return and yearning to be as close to him daily as it's possible to be. May that be the longing of our hearts.